Good morning. I'll be beginning in Matthew chapter 15, Matthew 15 verses 1 through 9. I'd like to talk about the danger of my good thinking. Just know that's in quotes, all right? Matthew chapter 15. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And he answered and said to them, "Why do you yourselves transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and 'He who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death.' But you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, whatever I would have helped you with has been given to God, he is not to honor his father or his mother.' And by this you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men.'" Whew. That's a strong accusation. Jesus is calling out the hypocrisy of the spiritual leaders of the day. Jesus, God on earth, to hear that from him is a scary thing. I don't want to be in that position. And as I think about, could I be in that position, I quickly realize that yes, I can. It's very easy to become the hypocrite. It's very easy to elevate the wisdom of man and put it above God's wisdom. And I certainly don't want to be that person. So I'd like to think about a few ways in which I can fall into that. Perhaps it's on purpose, perhaps it's by accident, but there are different ways in which that can happen. And the first way is, it has to do with the Bible itself. It's not a list of commands. It's not just a to-do list. Do this, don't do that. I have to read stories and parables and poetry. I have to think about those things and figure out what the message is from those things. And it's easy to twist those things and make it what I want it to say. I have to be careful with Scripture. I have to use my mind. I have to consider and reason through Scripture. It's also easy to study with my desire first. If I'm going to the Bible with, "I want it to say this," I can probably find it. If I go to the Bible with, "I heard this from somebody, now let's go prove it with the Bible," that is elevating men's wisdom over God's wisdom. And so we must be careful with how we study, not just that we study. We have to be careful that we don't accept what is said. We live in a day and age that's beautiful. I can listen to 10 sermons a day. And consume and consume and consume. And I have to be careful not to be lazy and just accept what is said. Just because I trust the person. They haven't steered me wrong before. Why would they steer me wrong now? We have to be like the Bereans in Acts 17, examining the Scriptures daily, making sure what is said is God's wisdom, not man's wisdom. And that can be difficult. I think about my dad, he is my mentor, right? My spiritual mentor. And it's very easy for me to listen to dad. And every time I talk to him, he's got a sermon for me. He is now a full-blown preacher. Every time you talk, he's got a full sermon. Everything we talk about somehow relates to what he just talked about on Sunday. Let me relay that to you once again. That's my dad after 20 years of preaching. Back in the day, he wouldn't give me an answer. It was, what does the Bible say? And so he taught me that Berean way of go study it. I'm not just going to give you all the answers. You need to find out because it tells you, here's a starting place. And that's how he treated me. And it was frustrating as a child that wanted to just know the answer right now. But it was good for me. And so it's important that we have that Berean attitude, that we're gonna search God and verify what is said, no matter the credentials, no matter
the position, and even if it's your own parents, we're gonna verify what is said. Then a third way. I want to read these passages. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." Colossians 2:8, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." In 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall, for that he does not fall." These are warning us, in a way, that there will be attacks on the faith of a Christian. Every Christian will face attack. It might be from your own mind. It might be from other Christians. It might be from the atheist. It might be from other religions. But there will be attacks on your faith, and we must be ready to give a defense. We must make sure that we can't be taken captive by philosophy, and we must make sure that we don't get too haughty and think too highly of ourselves, because we're ready. We're primed to fall if we do. So, what ways can we get those attacks? And I believe it's from questions. How do you know that there's a God? How can you say that there's a God when pop science says otherwise? How can you say that Jesus is God? If Jesus is God and when he's on earth, how does he pray to himself? I thought you said that's one God. How does he pray to himself? How can you say that the Bible is the inspired word of God when it doesn't say what this other book that they claim is the word of God? How are you going to say that it's the Bible? There's lots of things that can come. And it goes even further, the moral discussions, right? How can you have a loving God who would create Satan? How would you have a loving God, or say that God is love and he has this eternal punishment for those that don't accept him? That's not love, is it? How can you have what you call a loving God and allow evil in the world? And you're just going to be attacked and attacked. And these are questions that need to be answered. They need to be asked and they need to be answered. Right? Faith is reasonable. So we must reason. We must think. And there are answers to those questions. I hope that you have them already. If you don't, go get them. I'll give you a hint. It's in here. Start here. That's what my dad did to me. So the Bible is not a list. The Bible is written in a way that it can be twisted, and we must be very careful with it. We must accept what it says. And we must not accept what men say just because they said it, just because of their credentials. And we must be careful of the attacks. So that's the dangers. Now let's look at a solution. Like, how do we go about it? James 1:21 through 22. "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves." I get three things from this. First, putting aside the filthiness and wickedness. As some of you might understand the reference. Just be good. Don't be bad. You know what I'm talking about. We have to put away wickedness. We can't call ourselves spiritual if we're going to go around being our old selves, being our worldly selves. We have to take on the character of God. We must put away the desires of the flesh. We must get rid of wickedness in our lives. The second thing is going to the Word of God with humility. I can't go trying to prove my good thinking. I must go trying to gain God's good thinking. Gain God's wisdom. Don't try to insert myself and my will and my desire into God's word or anybody else's. Maybe it's not just me. And if we'll do that, we know that it's able to save our souls. We know that our words, my thinking, is not able to save a soul. God's wisdom is. So let's go to God with the humility that is able to save our souls. And then be doers. You can have all the knowledge, you can memorize the whole Bible, and if you don't put it into practice, it was worthless. All that study was for naught. We must apply the scripture. And so there's a place where we, when we take scripture for what it is, which is from God, God breathed, it will make us complete or perfect, able to do every good work, right? We will know how to handle situations. We will know how to rightly divide the word of truth. We'll know how to handle every situation because it's given to us. But we have to be good students that go humbly, that go the right way and study. And I still have time. So there's a verse that this is bonus. Because there is a lot that could be said. And I hope that you'll take what I've said so far and explore it further. It's something that I am working on. As somebody that was raised by God-fearing parents and that kind of thing, I baptized at 13, I have accepted a lot of what people told me. I didn't do the homework. I didn't do the examination at times. And so my fear is, could I be wrong? Could I be wrong? I don't know of anything that I'm wrong about, but it's possible, and I don't want to be the hypocrite. I don't want to be the one whose worship is vain or empty. I don't want to be the person that honors God with my lips, but my heart is far from him. I want to be who I ought to be. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, first few verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 1, it says, "Let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. But to me it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself. For I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted. But the one who examines me is the Lord. Therefore do not go passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God." This is a fairly difficult passage. We know from the next chapter that Paul tells them to judge the man who is doing evil things, and they're proud of it instead of mourning that. In chapter 11, we're told to examine ourselves before we partake of the Lord's Supper. And yet he says here, I don't examine myself. I don't concern myself with your examination or the court's examinations. I think what he's talking about here is that we can be guilty when we think we're innocent. It's possible. And I don't want to be in that position. I have to be willing to take on God's character. I have to be willing to give him my everything, all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength. And we're focusing on the mind this morning, but everything, I give it over to Christ, and I try to imitate God with everything that I have. And I could still be wrong. Like Paul says, Paul who has received revelation from Christ and given the thorn in the flesh so that he doesn't become too proud. He's sharing a lot of the mysteries of these things. But he says, I can't examine myself because even though I'm not conscious of anything wrong, I could be totally off. I have to give it over to God to do the judgment. So there's a place where, yes, we must make judgments and we must strive to be pleasing to God. And there's a place where we're not capable to be the judge. We must remain humble. There's a place where we can't examine ourselves. What we can do is study. What we can do is practice what we know to be right, removing the wickedness from our lives. These things. And I'll leave you with that. Thank you.